Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, here we go. Guys, I forgot to unmute us and actually kick the show off proper. Tom and I have just been talking to the wall for a little while, so let me start this over again. I'm Nate Lindberg, and you can find me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg, and tonight I'll be your tour guide for this, the August 10th, 2021 edition of PWT Talks NXT. Now that this was such an unusual week in NXT news, I'm going to do something a little bit unusual for our show, after I actually unmute it and start it. Sorry, guys. Apologize for that. But before I get into all of that, Tom, who are you?
So you know, now that we're unmuted, I'm totally doing the Matrix impression again.
Please, please do.
Mr. Helmsley. It's already not as good as it was before.
It's not.
Yes. I've seen this. This is it. Yes, you were laying right there, just like that. And I stand here, right here. I'm supposed to say something. I say, everything that has a beginning has an end, Hunter.
Yeah, it was better the first time, but I'm glad I got a second crack just in case. But seriously, I'm at Tom Staup on Twitter, and I may be right, I may be crazy, but it's still Vince McMahon they're working for.
And I think they still say ignorance is bliss, right? Right?
And the thing you are not ignorant on now, if I didn't tip it off earlier with the reading, was that I definitely wrote that intro for myself now that I have repeated it twice verbatim.
Well, hey, I totally wrote mine too because I almost repeated mine verbatim, except this time I didn't rip on Kelly because I screwed up and just give Kelly something to rip on for me. Anyway,
Kelly has not been released, just so everyone knows.
Nope, Kelly has not been future endeavored. Kelly is just, you know, not here tonight. So anyway, what's going to make this episode of PWT Talks NXT so unusual? Well, we've got so many of you guys that want to talk about what's going on with NXT and the news and the rumors and all of that good fun stuff. We're just going to forget about the show for a little while, and we're going to talk news. So to start, we're going to start right with the mailbag. We're going to dive in and talk with David Podnar, who says, "Hello, all. Wow, another slashing of talent. If the releases are about a rebranding to younger talent, does NXT go back to developmental like the early days? Maybe the last couple of years was Vince trying to destroy AEW, and he found out that his network show could not compete with a full-blown touring show, and he's gutting it all. Still figure to keep someone around to coach and wrestle with the kids, but Mercedes and some of the names like Bronson Reed and Jake Atlas, it seems like some of the younger guys that you could build on, unless Vince and Nick Khan want to use NXT for taller and bigger undeveloped people. And they figure if they can't make it in a couple of years to cut ties and move on. Right now, I'm just confused and I'm trying to make a coherent reason. Sitting in confusion, David Podnar." Yes, I think we're all sitting in a little bit of confusion, and we're going to go over to Tim Scott to see how confused he might be. "Good evening to the reigning Trios champion of NXT podcasts. Man, we're really living through a milestone period in pro wrestling history. It might not be an all-out boom, but that sense of imminent change we're all feeling is definitely exciting. Question, how do you guys feel regarding the hot take that Vince is intentionally releasing high-priced and veteran talent in order to strap AEW with a bloated payroll while saving money by shifting to a younger, less experienced, but more aesthetically pleasing roster? And in addition, furthering his deeply held belief that it is the WWE brand and the mystique of WrestleMania that is most important of any talent or for any talent, with dreams of becoming a transcendent mainstream superstar like Hulk Hogan, The Rock, or John Cena. Is Vince truly an evil genius? Please let me know your thoughts. So hyped for this week's show. I know it'll be a good one." Tim Scott, VIP member from VA. VA is Virginia, right? Right. We're going to go to Brian Alston, who is Brian. He is a 30-year senior PW Torch VIP subscriber and the official Torch correspondent for the August 20th SmackDown taping in Phoenix. Brian says, "Hello, friends. Like the majority of NXT fans, I was shocked at the latest round of wrestler releases. As you know, I was a fan of the finest Kona Reeves. I thought he'd be a great addition to Raw or SmackDown as an agitating heel. However, the big question is Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa." Brian, that is my question too. "I enjoyed their feud. I had considered it to be one of the seminal blood feuds in wrestling history, similar to Von Erichs and Freebirds and Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer. I don't think that Gargano and Ciampa being in NXT since September 2015 is the cause of any of NXT's problems. When Ciampa and Gargano became Twitter trends over the weekend, I scoffed at the idea of DIY bringing NXT down. What are your thoughts? Here's a reminder that this Saturday, August 14th, there's an all-new edition of the exclusive VIP show NXT 8 Years Back. Ironically, this 2013 episode features Curtis Axel.
Yeah, baby.
And this, he did the same thing when I read his email the first time. And I think this is actually...
Axel deserves it. I'm still living Axel mania.
And I think it was this point that I realized we were not recording or not muted, and we went back. So... this week's – Brian also says this week's movie trivia year is 1939, the year 1939. Is it the greatest year in movie history? Go VIP and find out, because they'll be talking about that on 8 Years Back. We're not going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to go over to one final email from Kevin Catani. Salutations, Nate and Tom, because Kevin had pre-existing knowledge Kelly wasn't going to be here tonight. I hope this email finds you well. I'm sure all the recent releases will be a big talking point for all of you guys. Despite the reasoning and or prestige from the release performers, I'm still heartbroken for them. But I wanted to focus my attention on the contract situations of Adam Cole and Pete Dunne. I read somewhere that the administrative staff that was fired, staff member that was fired was released because of bungling Cole's contract. How could NXT let something like a lapsed contract even happen? I'm just interested about your thoughts on their status. If they're ready to go, then that's on them. But if the limbo is the result of poor management, what gives? Thanks as always. Go VIP. Office hours are now over. Professor Kevin B. Catani, PhD. Okay. Now, that was a lot of emails to read all at once, especially having to read them twice. So with all of that, let me just kind of quickly, I guess, go through some of my thoughts here and some of the news and the rumors and all that stuff that you guys might have been hearing, and Tom, feel free to chime in if I either say something incorrect or something that you've heard that I haven't heard or whatever, because, you know, it's not like we plan the show or anything. So it looks like NXT, a lot of these cuts that were made, obviously Triple H and Shawn Michaels did not really have a whole lot of say in it from what we've been hearing, and that they were all cut from the top, Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, and Johnny Ace. And essentially it seems like it was, they're calling it budget cuts. They're saying it's budget cuts and they don't really care about, they're not saying outwardly that they don't necessarily care about NXT, but they want to try and change NXT around and, do something new with it. They're making a bit of a mandate, supposedly that, they don't want anybody under 30 years or don't want anybody over 30 years old. Roughly about 6 feet and over, 220 and over. So you had a lot of guys that were, you know, people like Bronson Reed that didn't quite fit that mold got cut. So we'll there's a lot that we could certainly say about all of that. Here's my thought. If it's going to happen, I'm going to try and be a little optimistic about it. We haven't, at least on this show, been super over the moon about the direction that NXT has been going over the past, you know, handful of months, really year, or really since they've kind of gone on USA Network, kind of think about it. And I'm wondering if this might almost be a little bit of a return to the roots of NXT. If they can actually figure out ways to develop homegrown superstars in NXT and then utilize them in a similar way to like somebody like Kevin Owens or something like that, fine, I'm for it. But obviously I do have some of my reservations and I'm hoping that the thing I love isn't completely being killed. Tom, before I continue rambling on, cause I feel like I've done a lot of talking so far, you want to jump in with some of your thoughts?
All right. Are you sure you're ready?
I think so. Let's go.
Okay. Cause I think I'm going to go long on this, and I received a DM yesterday from a friend who actually has appeared on this podcast before. I have no idea if he would want me to name him in this situation, but he DM'd me and just said like, oh my God, Vince is gutting NXT. He's going to ruin it. And I responded to him with every single thought that was in my brain about it. And there are so many things going on here that I hope that people will forgive me for not thinking as extemporaneously here and instead working from this DM that I wrote. So I'm just going to read through it and then I'm going to add other stuff as I go along, and I hope that's acceptable for everyone, because I know that I'm going to forget things, and it's going to bug me for the rest of the week if I don't work from this here. But I think before I launch into that reading, I will just say that I can sum up by saying that it's business. And I think you alluded to this as well, Nate, that people listening closely to our podcast over the past couple of years may understand that what we're seeing now, and this is why I did a Matrix impersonation at the beginning of the podcast, is that they were in a situation where something like this was becoming inevitable. And in part, this is an expected result of the decisions and directions that NXT has taken that we have been consistently expressing concern over. So my response to the DM, doom crying NXT's fate, was, fact is, regardless of whether we want to fantasize about it another way, the buck still stops with Vince. It's his developmental system. And if it's not developing people he's interested in actually booking, then it's a failure, no matter how good or bad we feel its own TV is. It is Vince's fault. He's been so hands-off to the point that most call-ups leave us scratching our heads. But a lot of that is also us getting to see the developmental product now. And I will be repeating myself a little bit here from people who have been listening in past weeks, but I did sort of holistically put everything in here. None of us were at the Ohio Valley Fairgrounds watching the Leviathan get upset when he was called up as Deacon Batista, but things turned out fine for old Dave. And actually, as I mentioned that, I think of the other side of the coin. Things turned out great for Dave, but theoretically, what if Shelton Benjamin, for example, who was part of that same class of that same developmental class, what if... I'm pretty sure that timeline matches up. I think that was part. Well, anyway, he was famously.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty
sure you're right.
Yeah, he was famously teaming with Lesnar. What if Shelton Benjamin was on a cut list like the ones that we're seeing now? No one would be outcrying because it wasn't a product for us to be watching, and we wouldn't know to be upset about it. And even one of the most successful people in wrestling history, John Cena, was almost cut before he switched from being the prototype to doing the rapping thing. So to continue here, I've been saying for years, even when NXT was better episode to episode, it's weird they are using the, quote, training wheels raw NXT was supposed to be as a stable for wrestlers that don't actually translate to Vince's vision. It's why, for example, and this is one I've brought up before, I feel they failed Andrade. Just one example. Amazing worker who they just let waste away on the mic rather than developing him where he was deficient. They gave him Zelina. They didn't give him a lot of promo time himself. They let him say, no, I don't really want to work on my English. And I know the optics of complaining about a Spanish speaker not learning English in America have other correlations. I am not intending to invoke those in any way, but this guy, the reason you are signed to NXT is so you can eventually succeed in Vince McMahon's WWE. And if they knew, because there's a long history of Vince McMahon's, how he likes to present people, if they knew that that was going to be a deficiency, they failed Andrade by not developing that more and by giving him the crutch of Zelina, even though it made for some really good TV. Now, Andrade is over at the clown show, and people are still complaining about his promo ability. But if Vince actually decides to show up to the Performance Center when his new money man, Nick Khan, makes him, money man is probably not the term I meant there, but we know what Nick Khan's position is.
$1 million man.
There you go. And Vince sees Omari Palmer, Odyssey Jones, and wants him on TV, good! Just to take that one specific example, I've been wondering for years why Odyssey Jones wasn't doing anything, and now he's impressing in the breakout tournament. And presumably, I haven't heard reports, but presumably in these SmackDown dark matches. But if someone like Odyssey Jones gets called to make dark matches before SmackDowns, that doesn't mean he's called up That means he's trying out for Vince. And Bronson Reed didn't impress. I'm sorry to say it. I hate to say it. Bronson Reed is a nice guy. Everybody knows he's a nice guy. I met him in a parking lot once. He gave me a fist bump. He seemed really humble. Bronson Reed's a nice guy. But his matches and his promos have always been lacking, in my personal opinion. I know I will get some pushback on that. And in my opinion, he's also regressed over the course of the pandemic. So, again, sorry to the nice guy, but if Vince doesn't see potential in him, it's a good cut. You can't just keep these people around no matter what your company's overhead is. This ain't a daycare. I love Mercedes Martinez, to take a different side of the coin. I'm not as high on Bronson Reed. I'm incredibly high on Mercedes Martinez. But Sadie's got a call-up, and she said no thanks. Yes, the Retribution creative was the drizzling you-know-what, but the cut does make sense. And so on. NXT got to ruin themselves by focusing less on what made the show great before and more on playing roadblock to AEW, and they failed at that, and viewership has dwindled since. It's just dwindled, period. But AEW has also showed Vince that they are joke wrestling that doesn't go for the same target audience that he goes for. And I'll take an aside right now to observe that I know I'm being very derisive. This, you know, I'm reading the exact words from this DM that I sent, so I wasn't trying to sound super professional. I know I'm being derisive towards AEW, but you just look at what they're doing and how it appeals to the wrestling fans that are already there, and they are not trying to grow beyond that. And the numbers, even though they're looking good now, they're still not, you know, beyond what the fan base was when they started out, and they were still the brand new toy. And you tune into the Young Bucks missing slam dunks and joking into the camera versus the main event on Raw, which was Randy Orton and AJ Styles looking like they were actually in a match that they wanted to win against one another. Whether we're tired of Raw or not, those two performers looked like they actually wanted to win that match. And they weren't doing anything stupid and unbelievable that was going to hurt them unnecessarily. And I genuinely feel like that is not only a key to perpetuating business, but also a key to Vince trying to appeal to a broader audience than just the wrestling niche, you know, we Twitter fans, or however you want to phrase it, that are already there anyway. People are going to flip the channels and see – people do flip the channels – and see the Young Bucks missing a slam dunk joke spot and joking into the camera about it and think, well, this is the fake crap, and I don't watch this because it's the fake crap. But Orton and AJ were trying to make people believe on Monday night. So that, I believe, is the key difference, and that's why I say things like clown show and joke. Obviously, I try to keep that off the podcast for the most part. But AEW showed that to Vince. And now he understands that they are not going for the broader audience that Vince goes for. Whether Vince is right, whether I'm right in my assessment, that's a different conversation. But it's long past time NXT actually tried to prepare people for Vince's world rather than a fantasy world where Triple H or someone else is in charge. It reminds me so much of when The Lord of the Rings came out and everybody was going, even me at the time, every once in a while I would be like, well, if I was directing it, I would have done this. And it's like, well, you didn't. Peter Jackson did. And that's the reality of it. I'm sorry. Vince is in charge. That's the fact of it. WWE also stockpiled talent to try to impede AEW when AEW was still yet to produce a show. So it was still sight unseen. We didn't know what kind of show it was going to be. And what's happening now is the logical other side of stockpiling talent. So, again, unsurprising in that regard. So while I'm certain there will be exceptions to the reported age and height thing that the PC wants to move toward, it's also not a rule that training muscle heads from other sports turns out poorly. You just look at Mark Henry for one example. Yes, very rocky start. And you know, ups and downs throughout a very lengthy career, but now the dude is beloved. Bianca Belair more recently has become widely respected, and she's now a champion among only five women who have ever gone on last at a WrestleMania. And those are just two examples that I picked out of many that I could have gone with. For a while now, I have been aching for NXT to return to a more purely developmental state. And this whole big guy, young guy thing, it's not necessarily bad, especially when you think of how Vince books. And again, this is not going to mean that every single person is going to be a giant. Vince knows that if you have only giants, then you have no giants. But I will point out the anecdotal evidence that when I was watching NXT on USA, I forget how long ago this was. It was probably 2019. The local news here in Orlando did a report on the Performance Center, and they weren't talking about Johnny Gargano. They weren't talking about Adam Cole. They were talking about Big Jordan, who has become Amos. They were talking about the next wrestler who is bigger than Andre the Giant. That's what they were talking about. I got my hair cut, and I mentioned that I cover NXT, and the barber said, oh, yeah, I cut a wrestler's hair recently. They said that they wrestle for NXT. And I said, oh, what do they look like? I probably know exactly who they are. And the guy couldn't for the life of him remember. But then I was wandering through the mall, and I bought something from a mall kiosk in, you know, just conversationally over the course of the transaction. I mentioned that I cover NXT. I don't just go around saying this. I swear it came up organically. And the guy was like, oh, my God, the other day, this giant dude named Jordan walked through here. He wrestles for them. He's incredible looking. These are the kind of people that people notice and they talk about. And this is the broader audience. This is not the wrestling niche. This is not all entirely bad. And again, I go back to Odyssey Jones. Yeah, he's not as big as Amos is, but as we'll cover a little bit later, I thought he really impressed me again tonight. And I don't know if somebody wants to try to tell me that Odyssey Jones is not doing a good job right now and they hate him just because he's a big guy and represents what Vince likes to book, I think you've just got a grudge against Vince and you're not looking at what's actually working on the screen. So, again, for a while now, I've been aching for NXT to return to a more purely developmental state. So I'm actually pleased with the reports of impending change. And for those leaping to doom crying, the show will likely remain recognizable tomorrow. None of the cuts, not even Tyler Rust, the most eyebrow-raising of the recent batch, will blip on current storylines. And after watching tonight's show, I do believe that that panned out. So then my friend responded, so they're crippling a brand of theirs that could stand on its own to focus on, quote, developing guys in a way that will make Vince happy on a show that is legit painful to watch right now in Raw? And my response was, I don't think it's standing on its own, though. Not in its current form. The ROI isn't there in Nick Khan's new greater scheme of things. And the window to use it as a tool to impede AEW has passed. Either way, Vince is still the leprechaun who owns the pot of gold at the end of the NXT rainbow. And I also added a note to myself to put in there that blah, blah, blah. Also, if they're training people Vince doesn't intend to use, they're risking using WWE money just to train potential future AEW guys. Yeah, sure, I guess that's a fine point. More specifically to the emails, regarding Travis's email about Vince making chess moves to try to inflate how much money is going out of AEW, again, my cynical view of what AEW is and how it's run comes in when I say that that's not really an issue for them because Tony Khan is just playing with daddy's bottomless pit of money. So he's not going to run out of money anytime soon. He throws that stuff around like crazy. Oh, look, I licensed this new song. Ha ha ha. But I think that when AEW is taking guys that Vince is either done with or he isn't going to use, and in turn, Vince's remaining guys, I messed up how I wanted to say that, but when AEW is taking those guys that Vince isn't going to make any more money with, so he doesn't want to pay them anymore, the people that are still with WWE then, I feel, become less valuable to AEW. And what I mean by that is that, for one prominent example, Adam Cole is theoretically lesser in an AEW that already has a crowded main event and is likely about to take on Punk and Bryan and whomever else. Adam Cole has already made inways into WWE's system, and it seems like things are going well, you know, just speaking on Tuesday, August 10th, and hearing rumors about this private meeting he had with Vince. He has a shot at carving out his own little spot on the main roster rather than trying to move over to AEW, being a big deal for 1 week and then just getting lost in a sea of all these other guys that AEW is just throwing all over the place. Regarding Brian's email for Ciampa and Gargano, I do not believe that the Ciampa and Gargano storyline was the problem. I don't believe that in the least. However, Ciampa and Gargano saying that they wanted to stay in NXT might have been an issue. I mentioned that about Mercedes Martinez, and I am certainly not trying to speculate on anyone else's contractual fate, but kind of feel like Vince McMahon looking at the developmental system, looking at developmental wrestlers that he was bringing on to his show, even though we disagreed with the timing of it, they say, no, I want to stay on your developmental brand, then Vince is just going to go, well, what the hell are we doing here, pal? And to Kevin, regarding the contract, Kevin, I actually want to hear what you think about this, since you're the sports management guy. You're the sports management doctor, in fact. But this is obviously an inexcusable mistake to let contract expiration dates slip through the cracks, just to put them on set and forget. I mean, you can't have that. You absolutely can't have that, especially in this climate. And honestly, it just kind of tangentially makes me question all the more. I never really mentioned this, but I do wonder it all the time. Why pro wrestling contracts for wrestlers aren't public like they are in other sports? I don't really see the downside. And you know, I guess it's the whole like, oh, well, I know that he's going to lose because his contract is up. But you can factor that into the storyline. Maybe that would become redundant, but it just kind of feels like if they were public, I just don't see the reason to keep them private. Maybe somebody can educate me as to that. But I think that does it for my giant spiel. I did not time myself, but oh, it's only 11:04. We're probably all right.
Yeah, you know, I think it's okay. Rather than I was going to chime in with a couple of my thoughts here, but you did go a little long. That's okay, though. It's okay.
I would love to hear them. I think the listeners would, too. I know. Well, I was very siding with Vince on everything, and I know there's obviously another side to this.
So, okay, really, when I first heard all of this, my immediate thought was pessimistic, and I think that's kind of what a lot of people were thinking as well. And that's just kind of, I think, by nature, just kind of what we do. It was immediately pessimistic. I'm thinking, you know, they released people like Bray Wyatt. They released all these people that were just like, why are they? It doesn't make sense. And I started thinking about it. And then I started thinking about what we keep saying about NXT and how it's not been anything that we've really been super over the moon about over the past year or so. And it's like, okay, maybe this could actually be a good thing. And you touched on a lot of it. I don't want to necessarily rehash a lot of that. But that was really kind of started – that was what I started to think about. Now, on the flip side, one of the things that does – you know, one of the things that you said that I do disagree with a little bit is like where you started talking about like, you know, OVW and Batista being, becoming Deacon Batista. It worked out well for him. Nobody saw him being Leviathan down in OVW and then were, you know, upset that he was Deacon Batista on the main roster. And I agree with you there, completely agree with you there, but they are also broadcasting this. And this is something they're trying to get out there. It was, even if it wasn't necessarily Vince's vision, it was Triple H's vision to try and get this out there as a third brand. So if you're trying to get this out for the masses to see, then it just doesn't make sense to not continue that story on the main roster. However, obviously, that's not how WWE works. That's not how WWE works. You know, you're booking for an audience of one. You're booking for Vince. So even though I disagree with what you're saying is the truth. It's what it is, because like, why is it, even though NXT was clearly, at least in my opinion and your opinion, and I think a lot of you guys' opinion, NXT has been the better show, even though it hasn't been the NXT we fell in love with back years ago. NXT has clearly been the better show than Raw or SmackDown, more consistent in better stories, better wrestling, and all of that. But in a perfect world, when you go from NXT to the main roster, you take your story with you, you take your gimmick with you, you take your momentum with you, or whatever, maybe tweak a little bit here and there, whatever. But you take your momentum with you, I guess is really what I'm trying to say. And that's not what happened. In a perfect world, that's what would happen. Unfortunately, we're not there, and we are playing to Vince. It's Vince's vision and what Vince wants. So, yeah, if you're not going to tweak the main roster, which Vince isn't going to tweak the main roster to appease the people down in NXT and kind of make that all work in cohesion with NXT, then, yeah, you're going to change NXT to build stars for Vince's vision. And from a business perspective, it absolutely makes sense. From a lot of other perspectives, it doesn't, but from a business perspective, it makes sense. There, Nick Khan is in that whole, you know, money-saving mode. He's obsessed with not having any of the departments in the red. Everybody's making money, no redundancies, running leaner, running cleaner. And the business side of me is like, dude, hell yeah, rock on. You do that, you make us more money, you make more profits, that's what we're paying you to do. The wrestling fan in me goes, how the hell could you let somebody like Bray Wyatt go? You know, with not just his gimmick and being the biggest money merch maker and things like that. And I know I'm getting outside of NXT here, but being the biggest money maker and everything like that, how could you let him go? And not just that, but what he can bring to the talent, all of the ideas you've heard so many people, so many wrestlers come out of the woodwork right now, of all of the things that Wyndham Rotunda did, what Bray Wyatt did for them, help them with their gimmicks, help them with the character, help them with an idea. He's an idea guy. He came up with The Fiend, right? He's got all of that knowledge, and you just let him go. If you're not a wrestling guy, and Nick Khan's not a wrestling guy, or Nick Khan's a money guy, he's looking on paper and going, okay, this makes financial sense, cut him. And he doesn't see, at least in my opinion, his total guess anyway, but at least is my, you know, theory, is he doesn't see the added benefit there, or doesn't care, and it's purely financial. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of things that we can, you know, sit here and speculate on and wonder and everything. At the end of the day, I'm hoping that this is a good reset for NXT, and this brings us back to the quote glory days of NXT. We might not see, you know, and it might be a weird transition. Like you said, this isn't going to happen overnight. My guess is we're going to probably run the same way we've been running, and you know, through SummerSlam weekend, TakeOver 36, maybe a little bit longer after that. Maybe not. Maybe that's the end, and we get this rebranding. You know, I'm hearing new logos, new lights, new set, you know, things like that. We get that rebranding, and they kick that show off proper. If that's the case, we're going to see more cuts. If the mandate, you know, for the most part down there is under 20 and 6 foot, obviously not everybody, but for the most part, maybe Ciampa and Gargano are some of the guys to go. Maybe not. Maybe they go up to the main roster. Would it suck? Yeah, I like them in NXT. I personally like the fact that they want to be NXT lifers. Did it maybe change some of the culture down there? Maybe. Would I say that that's killed NXT? No. Did it contribute? Maybe. But I don't think that's, you know, I don't even think it's a major contributing factor. I think it might have kind of got that seed planted in other people's heads too, but I don't know. I don't think it was a major contributing factor anyway. Now, here's the other thing, is because they did have such a bloated roster, the thing that I've been thinking of too is exactly what, you know, your buddy said back to you in that DM, Tom, is you're essentially training people for other companies at this point. You bring in everybody. You're not featuring everybody, but you're training them. You're showing them how to do things, this, that, and the other thing. and then you're just releasing them. Or you're getting somebody like Bronson Reed. You're giving him all this TV time, and you know, you're building him up. You make him an NXT champion, well, North American champion anyway. And you, you know, you put him on I think he was on main event. I don't know if he was – I don't remember if he was actually on main roster or not. But regardless, you invest in him. You build time, and you invest, and then all of a sudden they show up on another brand. Andrade is probably a better example of that. They put a lot more investment in Andrade. You know, it's just kind of an unfortunate byproduct of hoarding a mess load of talent. For the talent, it's probably a good thing, because I'm sure they were not happy being unused and just sitting there and, you know, week to week and not actually wrestling or wrestling dark matches or training with the people that are actually wrestling or whatever. I'm sure that's frustrating. So it's probably a good thing to be able to have an opportunity to get out there, wrestle for Impact, wrestle for AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, the indie, you know, other indies, what have you. It's probably a good thing creatively for them. And right now there's a ton of money out there for all of this. Wrestling is not, at least on the indies, you can make money right now. At least that's what they say. So I don't think it's a bad thing overall. I think if you just kind of take the headlines and you take the gut reactions, just like my gut reaction was negative. I think if you just take it like at face value, it seems negative. And in a way it is. There's a lot of negative that comes with it. I don't want to see Bray Wyatt gone. I don't want to see Mercedes Martinez gone. But it's the reality of it. Are they going to show up in other promotions and shine? Probably. And more power to them. And you know what? We'll watch them there. I mean, we might be the NXT show, but it doesn't mean we're just watching NXT. Well, right now, I guess I'm kind of just watching NXT. I'm kind of not paying attention to most other things, but it doesn't mean we're pigeonholed into just watching NXT. We can watch some other places too. So with all of that jibba-jabba,
I will just add.
Okay, we're gonna have some more jibba jabba.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I shouldn't say of course. I don't agree with all the releases. It's been a slim few with me that I can't see why they like Killian Dane. Yeah, Tyler Rust to an extent. But yeah, Bray Wyatt in particular, I do not agree with that release. So we can level on that for sure. And you know, the pre-AEW, pre-USA Ciampa Gargano phase of NXT, you look back at it, and it does kind of make me wonder if Triple H was really convinced that WWE was about to be his, and he was just going to take these guys with him and just be like, hey, don't worry, I'll harbor you, and then we can go up and do our own thing. Just kind of makes me wonder that that's a different conversation. But I just wanted to most importantly say that I'm really glad that you did add your thoughts on the other side of my gigantic soliloquy, because I think that hearing what you say about the fact that they're trying to produce and sell and get ratings for and make money with a show is absolutely true as well. And it's just the fact that having a developmental system where you can pluck people like Karrion Kross and it doesn't matter what they were doing in the developmental system. I would have to roll a history check on myself to see if this is correct, but I believe that Leviathan got plucked from OVW before Cornette was done with him. So, you know, that's just the kind of thing you can do. And NXT used to handle that more gracefully with Paige, and then Paige went up, and then there was a tournament to crown her successor, or Asuka went up and, you know, she relinquished the belt. The Viking Raiders did the same thing.
It was easier back then too, because it was taped.
Right. Well, you know, I think that presents certain challenges as well, but they did, in this particular case, it presents certain challenges as far as committing to TV ahead of time, but they had the advantage of editing after the fact, even though they didn't do that a lot, honestly. I actually am hard-pressed to remember a time where they did heavily edit something after they filmed it for such a reason. But the taped NXT was always the best NXT because they were planning stuff out ahead of time. It was a much more satisfying show. But yeah, it's just the question of this successful developmental program where It doesn't really matter what's happening because people aren't watching it, and you can pluck from it for what is the real money-making thing, the reason you have a developmental program, and trying to make money with that developmental program as its own show, those have always conflicted. We've always struggled, even on this podcast, with as dedicated as we've been to the product, we've struggled with trying to reconcile those two elements. And I think that has always been an issue with NXT and is now coming to a head as the issue of what NXT is.
All right. So with all of that, I think we'll now go over to the phone lines. Just for clarification, I was going to go into my thoughts after going to the phone lines. I just wanted to get the phone lines so everybody wasn't sitting on hold and we could get people in.
So now I'm on Vince's side and they hate me because I kept him on hold longer.
Right? But that's okay. That's okay. All right, so we're going to start with area code 615. I probably know who this is, but, hey, I don't have area codes memorized. If you just heard the word unmuted, you're live. Who are you, and what'd you think of what's going on, or the show, or whatever you want to talk about?
Nate and Tom, good to talk to you guys. Sean, BFP from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That was awesome.
What's going on, Sean?
I did love every bit of it. I loved every bit of it.
Well, really good to hear from you, man.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. What do you think about what's going on?
No, I won't get too much into that. You guys brought up a lot of good points. I do think it's a mixed bag of everything. I will say that there's some good and bad with it all. There's not just one middle view. Vince has made a lot of mess ups, but there's a lot of money issues like that you have to look at, and cuts do happen all the time. It is part of it. I'm with you guys, especially with, Tyler and Mercedes and Bray, just from the aspect of giving people advice on a lot of things. There's a lot of things that he had positive that, even though I didn't like the Fiend character, he had a lot of upside in WWE, and I think they should have done more with it, and they just didn't do it, and that was kind of the sad part. So I didn't like those cuts in general, but overall, they did what they had to do in their minds, and that's kind of where they went with it. And what are you going to do? Vince has – there's things, again, on Raw. But I wanted to – going back to the show, because it does feel like forever ago, doesn't it now? It feels like ages ago.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
But going back to the show, I thought the show was really good tonight. It was good. I really enjoyed it. The with the Samoa Joe Karrion Kross package, the video package was fantastic. But what I just hate about it is, going back to Vince really fast, is to bring Karrion up, for however long, I'm assuming he's going to lose at TakeOver, but to just have him lose twice in a matter of 4 weeks on Raw, yeah, some people aren't watching Raw that are watching NXT, but if you're watching both, like Nate, I know you haven't really been watching Raw as much, but if you are, it just diminishes Samoa Joe beating him at TakeOver. It hurts that. I mean, so I wanted to see what you guys thought about that really quick, because I love the video package, but it hurts to me in that sense, even though I think it's going to be a great match. I think Samoa's going to get the best out of him, but I think that part hurt it. What do you guys think about that?
So you've got no argument for me for the most part. I was not, I mean, and I talked about it at length on the show too, is that I was not a fan of him losing to Jeff Hardy at all. I'm not a fan of what they were doing with him up on the main roster, period. It going straight down to him not having Scarlett or his entrance getting toned down and him just kind of being a generic guy with some stuff on his trunks there, some interesting gear. That's really it. So I'm not really for it there. However, I'm trying to now envision NXT and the main roster is kind of just two separate worlds, because it kind of is. And it's the only way that I think I can keep my NXT sanity, to be honest with you, because otherwise I just sit there and scratch my head half the time. Just like with this thing with Karrion Kross, with a million other things that have happened in NXT. But I think that's just kind of what we've got to do, especially if we want to suspend our disbelief as NXT fans and be able to get into this feud between Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe. I'm personally still there for it. I'm into it. Yes, it's been a little bit stomped down a little by what happened on the main roster in Karrion Kross. I'm not nearly as hyped for it as I probably would have been otherwise. However, I'm also really not hyped about Karrion Kross. I'm more hyped about Samoa Joe. I'm a big Samoa Joe guy. I love Samoa Joe. I was there when he won his NXT title at a house show. I absolutely lost my mind for it. I've met the guy in person, you know, once, and he was really cool. I'm a Samoa Joe guy. I like Samoa Joe, and I'm really happy to see him back and back in action in NXT. So that's what I'm there for. Would I have liked to see him be the one to dethrone Karrion Kross's undefeated streak? Sure, why not? Give him a little, you know, yeah, maybe I would have liked to see it go to another guy, younger guy or whatever, but being where it is, you have put that on some, you have Samoa Joe win the title and you have him defeat the undefeated streak. And then that kind of gets carried on to whoever beats Samoa Joe. He beat the guy that beat the undefeated streak, you know, just like whoever beat Brock Lesnar's beat the guy that beat Undertaker's defeated streak. So you can kind of tell that story. So I'd be okay with that. That's the way I wish they would have presented it. But again, there's that disconnect between NXT and the main roster. So I'm kind of having to think about these two. The NXT universe is its own separate thing, and the WWE universe is its own separate thing. Tom?
Real quick, I 100% agree, Sean, with what you said about Bray. Obviously, won't spend much time on it, but the one thing that I did not mention about it when I talked about it on Wrestling Night in America with Greg, is just that even with the rumors that Wade has suggested that Bray might have been relatively, in a certain sense, difficult backstage, I feel like that's the kind of thing where you Shawn Michaels it. Like, that's a guy where it's worth part of the cost-benefit ratio is the cost of dealing with him if he gives you what he's giving you. So just wanted to throw that out there. I think the Karrion Kross call-up situation is a situation where since I continue, and I've tried to be better about tuning into Raw recently, SmackDown being on Fridays is still just not a day that I like to sit in front of the TV, even though, you know, Roman and Edge are better than anything that's going on Raw. But I have been more regular with Raw lately, so I've seen all the Karrion Kross stuff. Even if I wasn't regular with Raw, I'd have to catch up on it for the podcast. But since I continue, even having seen all of it, to remain unbothered by it, as previously stated, I think it's a situation where I just have to listen to what other people are saying about it, because I think, like, it was years ago that I chose to compartmentalize the main roster from NXT and just view that they exist in separate, you know, mostly separate continuities, barring some crossover when they want it. And that it's always been envisioned as like a higher level of competition. So it doesn't really bother me when Jeff Hardy, even with his feet on the ropes, rolls up Karrion Kross in his first match. But that's just where I'm at with it still. So with that indifference, I just have to listen to what other people are saying about it, because those are, I think, more valuable points than me just saying over and over again every week, like, I still kind of don't care.
All right, Sean, any follow-up there?
Yeah, well, like you guys said, you know, overall, I mean, I'm still totally stoked about the match because, again, I'm with you, Nate. I mean, I love Samoa Joe. I mean, I've just loved him everywhere he's been. I mean, he's fantastic on the mic and the ring. You know, and Kross is, you know, I mean, he's okay. I don't, you know, some people, you know, Wade just can't stand him. Not can't stand him, but doesn't like his act. And I don't love the act. It's a lot better with Scarlett. I think he needs Scarlett there. And I don't think she's going to be there, you know, with him for, you know, because they've already pretty much said he's not going to be. So I don't like that, and that could be a hindrance. But, you know, he's okay in the ring. He's getting better. You know, the bigger the match, I think the better he has done. So I'm still excited for what they're going to do, and I think it's going to be really good. So I did want to throw that out there. I did have two more questions about the show. The first was going back to feels like now even longer ago, the Dakota Kai Saray match. I really enjoyed it. I thought Ray did better as far as she showed a little more fire. Because I know, Tom, I think you kind of said, you know, you weren't really – and I was kind of with you as far as she's not, like, super – there's nothing that really stands out. And I didn't think anything stood out in the match, but I thought it was very well worth. I thought she showed the more fire, got more invested in the match. Dakota is just fantastic. I love what she does. I'm excited about the match with Raquel. And then I liked Raquel's, you know, just get her, you know, I liked that there was no distraction in the match. I like the clean finish. That's what they need more of. That's been the problem. And I like that Raquel just got her out of the ring, tried to chase her away, and then just cut the quick promo. I'm going to kick your ass. I love that. What did you guys think of all that?
All right, so we actually we'll almost an hour into our show here, we'll start talking about the actual show we watched tonight. So we're talking about Dakota Kai versus Saray, which went about 13 minutes and 50 seconds. I rounded the times tonight because I don't think I started it right at the right time, but it was about 13 minutes and 50 seconds or so. We had Dakota Kai go over. I agree. I did like the match. I thought it was one of Saray's better matches personally. I do wonder if I don't remember like why Ember Moon was injured. I don't remember if she actually got injured or whatever, but where they announced that she was injured, if that is like a legitimate thing, I'm taking it at face value because I haven't heard anything otherwise. But I'm taking it at face value. If she was actually up against Ember Moon, would she have won? Did she only lose because the match was changed and she's against the number one contender? Something that at least went through my head. But that being said, I think this is the way to go. Dakota Kai looked strong. Saray, I think, even looked relatively strong. She looked pretty good against Dakota Kai. Granted, I think it's kind of hard for anybody to look bad against Dakota Kai. She makes you look great. It was, like I said, wasn't a bad match at all. I did like everything that went on after the match, with the exception of the fact that she just, like, Raquel Gonzalez comes down the ring and essentially just chases Dakota Kai away. She's, like, so angry and so, like, she just wants to get her hands on Dakota Kai and then just kind of, like, let her get away. And then grabbed a mic and then got in the ring and was like, hey, I'm so angry, I'm going to beat you up at TakeOver. But you're literally on the other side of that wall, right? Could go over there and kick your ass right now. But I'm not gonna, because it's gonna happen at TakeOver. And obviously that's how wrestling works, right? But in my head, I'm just going, why didn't you just keep running after her? That being said, I liked the passion that she had in the promo that Raquel Gonzalez had afterwards, is what I'm saying. I thought that was pretty good. And it did. It got me hyped for the match. Tom, what do you think?
I do quickly agree with everything Sean said about Joe versus Cross as far as the match itself. And I still, it's just with everything surrounding it and the storyline itself, I'm just very intrigued to see who is going to win. I'm not convinced either way. I'm totally on the fence. But I also agree that, yes, Saray was more fiery here and trying to fire up the crowd. Her efforts are very transparent. But when she wasn't doing any of that and she was a complete, like, you know, Bella Swan in the first Twilight movie, just a total blank slate with nothing going on, you know, that when Kristen Stewart comes out the other side and you're like, holy crap, you're actually an amazing actress? What's going on here? I was saying somebody has got to see that. Like, if you see that performance, you have got to be waiting at the other side of that curtain to put a hand on the shoulder and say, like, hey, thanks, but we really need something different, and give her some pointers. And it feels like somebody did exactly that, and she's got a line in the back of her head. Like, there's something that they worked with where they're just like, hey, you know, like, the crowd is your friends. Try to cheer, you know, feed off of them. Or I don't know. I'm saying stupid stuff as far as what they might have told her, but they told her something. So again, the efforts are very transparent, but it is an improvement. And the fact that she's trying matters, especially without a coconut loop to be practicing on. So I appreciate that. I also thought this was a good position to put her in, where Dakota Kai is opening the show coming out as the new arch-villainess of her division, and then Saray shows up with her sprightly entrance and as the hero going up against her. So I thought that was a good position to put her in, especially ahead of a very competitive match. And as for Raquel, yeah, the logistics and the blocking, you know, the hashtag wrestling of it all. I see that too, Nate. But I ultimately just think, you know what, Raquel has like every other week she's heel and baby with no real reason as to why. Now she finally has a kayfabe reason as to why she is going to be cheered, that she's coming out to beat up Dakota, who turned on her. So I appreciate that. And not that it's being asked, and I hope nobody else was going to ask it, because then I'll be like, well, shoot, I shouldn't have wasted that point earlier. But it did occur to me pretty shortly after we recorded last week, where we yet again were saying, okay, so it is Dakota next. I don't feel like she's going to get the title, but also I don't see why not put the title on her, and who the heck else is Raquel going to wrestle? And then I answered the question for myself and realized that it's probably Kaylee Ray next.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't actually think
I don't know
about
why,
Kaylee Ray.
Yeah, I don't know why I always forget about her. She's freaking awesome, but
yep.
It's just out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind, exactly. All right, Sean, real quick, because we do have a few other people on, but I know you said you had one other question for us tonight.
Yeah, just real quick. I hadn't seen Ilya Dragunov because I haven't been able to watch NXT UK, so I've heard, obviously, about him and seen, like, pieces of stuff, but the match with – I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that match with Dunn, because I just thought it was – gosh, it was awesome. Hard-hitting, really good for the time it had. Didn't like – what did you think about the kind of part distraction at the end causing him to lose, which I don't like, because if you're having him against Walter, should be a win going into a match with Walter standing right there. Don't really understand that. And, guys, great conversation tonight. You all are the best. Always good to talk to you all, and thanks for taking my call, as always.
Sean, as always, we certainly appreciate it. Good to hear from you, man. Good to hear from you. So what Sean was talking about was our main event, which, wow, we're talking about really late into our show tonight. So we had Ilya Dragunov versus Pete Dunne. That went about 13 minutes. And this got put together earlier in the night when Ilya Dragunov came out, essentially just to hype his match takeover against Walter. And Pete Dunne came out, said, hey, I'm better than you. And that eventually started a little bit of a feud. And Ilya Dragunov challenged him to a match tonight. And that turned into our main event. This was absolutely awesome. This was 13 minutes of just purely awesome wrestling. The amazing technical wrestling. There was a point in the match where I think it was Ilya Dragunov locked in like a wrist lock on I think it was Ilya Dragunov locked in a wrist lock on Pete Dunne and essentially just kept it locked in for like a minute and a half while continuing to move into other holds and things like that. It was off the charts. I did the live report for Kelly tonight because I typically will do that when Kelly's not here, and I had trouble keeping up with everything going on here because I just got lost watching the match. I was like, I don't want to have to recap this. I just want to enjoy it. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal wrestling. This is like when I realized it was going to be Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov earlier in the night, I marked out. I was super excited about it because I kind of had a feeling this is what we were going to get. And they did not disappoint me whatsoever. The thing, I get what you're saying, Sean, about the finish. And yeah, it was a little bit disappointing to see a distracted finish. And yeah, would it have been nice to see a clean win? Sure. However, you don't want to have Ilya Dragunov lose going up against Walter. I mean, unless that was a story they were trying to tell, you know, and kind of make him seem like a bit more of an underdog, but I don't think that's not the story they were trying to tell. You don't want to have him lose clean because he's going to look a little bit worse going against Walter or coming up against Walter. And you also right now don't want to have Pete Dunne really lose either. I think at least in NXT, Pete Dunne has more name value and he's a little bit more important to the stories and everything going on. Ilya Dragunov, for everything that I know anyway, this is just kind of a one-off thing. So he still looked good. He had a great showing against Pete Dunne, but, you know, he lost due to a distraction. Happens a lot. I don't like it. I wish they found a better way to interject Walter here, but it's kind of a good way at least to make them both look good without anybody getting a clean loss and kind of coming out of this looking, a little less than they went into it anyway. So I'm okay with the finish, not over the moon about it. Wish they went a different way. So I don't know what way, but did something a little bit more unique and creative than just a distraction, but I'm okay with it either way. Cause the match itself was phenomenal and kind of gives you a little bit, if you've never watched an Ilya Dragunov match before, it's going to give you a little bit of an idea what you're going to expect going up against Walter. Granted, he's going to have to wrestle a little bit of a different style as he did in his first match against Walter, because Walter's a big man and it's going to be a little bit different than going up against somebody's own size. Seriously, if you haven't watched Ilya Dragunov versus Walter 1, go out of your way, watch it. Hell, pause this show. We'll be here when you get back. Go and watch it. And then come back, and you can listen to Tom. Tom.
Yes. So I do feel that giving Ilya a match on US TV was necessary in this feud. But regardless of that, I feel that they have done a more than sufficient job of framing him ahead of this, because when he was doing a fine, not particularly remarkable, but a fine promo off with Pete Dunne, it still felt like we were looking at two of the biggest names associated with NXT UK. It felt like a major face-off, even though what they were saying wasn't really, you know, swaying me one way or the other. It wasn't doing it for me. It wasn't not. It was still just like, oh man, these two guys are face to face right now. Oh boy, and there's obviously the history that each of them have with Walter. So then you get to the match, and this is the only time I will make an insinuation like this on this entire episode, because I do, as stated earlier, feel like this episode, you know, if somebody watched it without knowing any of the, you know, behind the scenes stuff that's going on, I don't think they would have noticed. But I do feel that this is the kind of statement action that NXT wanted to have in their main event, to maybe rile up the fans that are upset about everything that's going on and maybe get like a Twitter movement started or something. That's going a step beyond what I said to myself in my notes. But I do think that this is the signature NXT action that they wanted on a night like tonight with where a lot of the fans' minds are regarding the news. So setting aside contractual stuff with Pete Dunne and, you know, the fact that maybe they're trying to convince him to sign by giving him a win, or maybe he did sign, so they're rewarding him. Setting that aside, I will say that I absolutely saw what Sean saw in the finish, and I didn't agree with what they did, because I felt that at first I didn't agree with what they did because I feel that even with Dunne being Pete Dunne, first of all, and even with him currently angling toward in the direction of a singles match with Tommaso Ciampa, which should be incredible, it does feel like they could have safely beaten him clean here and been totally fine with it. If Ciampa wants to address it, whatever, they can get around that. Because the fact is, Ilya Dragunov is going to win this championship, and, you know, it's not too much shame to have lost to him if he becomes the next NXT UK champion. But it's because Ilya Dragunov is going to win this match that I'm ultimately okay with what they did, because when you have such a high mountain to climb at the big event coming up as Dragunov has to climb in Walter, what is the best thing to do leading up to it? Make the climb even steeper. So having him have his shoulders pinned to the mat, giving him a sympathetic excuse, endearing him to the crowd in the short period of time that you have to do so, I feel that is where I can agree with a finish like this, because it will then become that much more satisfying when Ilya is holding the gold over a felled Walter.
And God, what a good-looking gold that is too, isn't it? Okay, let's go over to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to a Skype or an international call. So if you hear unmuted, you are now live. Who are you and who are you and where are you calling from? I don't know if we have anybody there. Wait a second. All right, we'll come back to you and see if maybe you just had yourself muted because, hey, I made that mistake at the beginning of the show, so, you know, I can't fault anybody else for doing it. With that, though, we'll go over to Darrell and see what Darrell thought about tonight's show or anything else that he has to talk about. Darrell, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing tonight? Hope y'all having a good Tuesday. Good Taco
hey,
Tuesday.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Can't complain. Cannot complain.
Kids back to school Tuesday is what it was for me, and it was a good one.
Oh, right. Man, don't take me into my day job, man. Don't take me into my day job.
Yeah, it was when you and Greg were talking about it. It was all I could do not to jump in, especially here from Florida where it's an issue. But maybe I shouldn't give us more reasons to tangent further.
I understand.
Yeah, we're already going long.
Oh, man, I heard and I loved everything that you guys were talking about. First off, I want to say you two with Kelly and, you know, some of the other crew who, when I first found this show and started writing in and then when y'all started doing the live call show, you know, one of the big reasons why I stick and watch wrestling today because that, hearing you guys and looking at NXT UK, all the real reasons I sit and watch wrestling, still being watching wrestling. Like, I watch the other shows sometimes, but I watch them, but I don't really watch them, you know. They, like, really just be noise in the background. So hearing you guys speak on everything earlier was very, you know, very good to hear, you know, different points of views and stuff like that. So my first thing for you guys today, and I won't try to take up too much, but I want to go back to what you guys were speaking on earlier. And I know, Tom, yeah, I know you said people might think you down with Vince or whatever and all of that. I don't think so, and I would understand why you would feel that way and hearing your points of view on that. I would offer you that counterpoint that you were speaking on earlier, and my reasoning is I think when people said what they said, especially about them 12 people who were cut from NXT, which I didn't see nothing wrong with it. I'm with you. I didn't see nothing wrong with it because a lot of those people didn't play a part on NXT, and people feel like losing these 12 people was just such dampering roster. I think a few of them haven't even been on TV. One was Ralph. Connor Reeves haven't been on TV in almost going on 2 years. Had to be like 18 months. So that's something to say about that. Mercedes just coming back, and Tom, you always speak on how to use Jake Atlas, so I didn't see that really hurt any type of depth because a lot of them people weren't even really being used like that. Bobby Fish just came back. Ashton Hare just started getting on TV and things like that. But what I would offer you different is I feel like that the talking points are just misconstrued and not true in what they be using, because if you look at the main roster today, who on the main roster that gets pushed haven't been in NXT? It's only a small few. The top guy, Roman Reigns, was even on NXT. Seth Rollins, Bayley, Charlotte, Finn. We can keep going. Drew, Riddle. Just keep going on and down. Everybody has been through NXT. So to say that they're not developing or developing people who's being used on the main roster is a lie. And that's telling a lie to what you're seeing with your own eyes. But I think people look at it, and when they hear those talking points from those talking heads and hardcore fans, it makes them play a wool over their eyes and keep dampering what is the real issue, and which would be Vince McMahon in the long run. I consider him like George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner had to get kicked off the throne for the Yankees to even do a turnaround, because if he would have kept running it, they would have kept. If people, I guess people forget those 7 or 8 years when he was running it last, and how putrid the Yankees were looking. So, and if we keep going down the line with Vince, I think it's going to be even worse. And it's already a dwindling hardcore fan base that's dwindling more and more each year. And with Vince at the head, I think it's even worse. And I know you were speaking on the comparison with AEW and NXT not proven, but if we look at it as this as well, NXT has its own TV deal, which is worth more than what AEW TV deal is worth. And they, and their TV deal, they paying back half. And I know fans will say I know one of the questions was like, is Vince pushing people over for get AEW to spend too much money? That could happen because Dixie Carter, who probably was getting more views and had a better TV deal and stuff, her dad is worth more than what Tony Khan's dad is worth. And billionaires don't spend and lose money for too long until they start putting the kibosh on everything. So that could happen. But that was just my whole gist of the field, because I feel like when people think that Vince doing whatever he's doing could turn around anything, when right now I think Vince is almost a shell of himself, because he wasn't really never showed being a great booker. He was always a great promoter. He never was a great booker. Just go back and look at, you see who Vince is with Lily doing the wink all the way to when he had Ultimate Warrior seeing himself in the mirror with Papa Shango. And I'll just go back and look at Saturday Night, Shotgun Saturday Night. And that's who Vince really is, because he's still that today. So to say that he's coming around and going to change something and he's getting something different is just not true at all, and not looking at what you're seeing, because the talent that he uses and that he loves at the top all came from NXT, and all people who was brought up through that performance center wise. So with people coming out saying that they needed this, or they're going to do this, or not have people under 6 feet tall or hot, whatever, and Vince going to do this and he needed this way, hello? If you guys can hear me, I can't hear you guys.